It's time for Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gerby. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gerby and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gerby and Carrie Kasem.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Here we are. This is Alan Gerby, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on Gerby's Law, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And with me, of course, as usual, is the wonderful, lovely Carrie Kasem. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
Oh, Alan. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I know.
I'm a little bit depressed.
Because of the cough?
No, because of what happened in the world this week.
Oh, well, there's always a reason to be depressed because of that.
Well, I'll tell you, our hearts go out to the people of France of
Absolutely.
The tragic events that occurred this week in France. And, you know, it's really hard to reconcile because here we are on Gerby's Law and we talk about taking negatives and turning them into positives. And we also say that we turn Murphy's Law upside down and we say that everything that can go wrong can also go right. So, Carrie, how do we explain what happened in France this week?
I don't know if there is an explanation. I mean, there's excuses, there's reasons, there's this, but nothing really, it's just so psychotic.
How do we make this into a positive? You know, of course, you can never make the loss of life into a positive. However, maybe the world, the good people of the world will come together, whatever religion, whatever culture, whatever country, and realize that we have to work together. And all religious leaders have to be outspoken in order to quash this horrible, horrible wave of terrorism.
You know, my dad said a long time ago, he said to me, the only way the world would all act as one and come together as one, despite the religion,
schisms.
Yeah, just
the word you were thinking there, of.
That's exactly it. But no, just despite all of the differences in the world, the one thing that would make the world come together is if we had an attack by basically aliens. Like, everybody would work together. He said, that's the only way. He wished for world peace. He wanted world peace. He worked so hard for peace in the Middle East.
But I'll tell you, Carrie, that doesn't even work because I have friends who actually would support the aliens because they'd be sensitive to the aliens' plight.
I agree with you. There are people that will, no matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, no matter what kind of good you put in the world, there will always be people that will put you down, take you down, go, what about this? What about that? Why aren't you doing this? Why? And those are the armchair, you know, the people on their pedestals,
right,
they're armchair, you know, heroes that just don't do anything, but they put everybody else down.
The problem is a philosophical question, and that is everyone inherently good, and then what happens in the world as we grow up gives them the opportunity to turn into these evil people, or is there evil in the hearts of people?
I think, because I believe in reincarnation, I believe your soul, I believe it was born good. I believe that it was created with all good intentions. But I believe that a lot of people can be corrupted, and whether it's this lifetime, last lifetime, next lifetime, you can. And you can be born with not a very good soul, not a very loving soul. I think I've witnessed it a few times with children. Unfortunately,
it's funny because I was thinking about that just before the show, and I went on the internet and I was looking and thinking about Socrates. Of course, I studied philosophy at Brown many years ago, and I was a student of Plato and Socrates, and I thought of the virtuous life. I thought of how do we live the good life? Are we inherently good? And I looked at an article, and the article actually talked about Socrates and his feeling of trying to do good, trying to acquire virtues so that you would live the virtuous life, knowing what is wrong and acting out of knowing right and wrong in order to avoid being a bad person. And it was so interesting because I'm reading this article. I'm fascinated by the way that Socrates brought human beings as good, virtuous life. And I looked at the top of the internet site, and it's called MuslimPhilosophy.com.
That's interesting.
I swear to God, if anyone looks right now, and whether I'm swearing to Allah, God, or the Prophet Muhammad, whatever it is, if you look up MuslimPhilosophy.com, you will find the article on Socrates and knowing right from wrong and living the virtuous life.
You know, there's a lot of people that I see that, and not so much anymore because I've really decided to distance myself from people who are at the clubs all night, who decide that, you know, recreational drugs is okay once in a while, this and that. I just, not that they're bad people, but it's just I don't want to be around that kind of, you know, that kind of energy.
Negativity.
That kind of negativity, right? So I would say when people would make excuses for, oh, it's okay every once in a while to party. It's okay to, you know, I had a few friends that got into the adult film world. And I just, you know, I love them. I still to this day, I care about them. But they're these excuses for why it was okay seemed preposterous. And I said, would
Carrie,
you want
you're not comparing terrorism to the adult
film
world.
No, I'm not at all.
You better not
we've
be.
We've gotten far away from that, Alan. We've been talking about Socrates and Muslim, and we've been talking about something else.
But it all is an underlying theme.
So listen, this is my thought. When I asked them, if you would like your child to do that, if it was okay for your child to go and once in a while do recreational drugs, your child to go and do porn, would that be okay? And all of, no, of course not. Why is it okay for you? Why is it okay? We've gotten away from ethics so far. It's like Socrates said.
And you know, and that rings so true. And it reminds me of the guest we have today that we're honored to have. We're honored to have a preeminent attorney and of course an Emmy Award winning legal journalist, Manny Medrano, on our show today, and we are going to have an amazing show. But Manny talks about what you're saying about role models. I watched him, and you have to watch this YouTube video. He did a talk in front of 10,000 educators, and he talked about exactly what you're saying, about being role models, about being able to take crises and turn them into positive things. That is right online of what we talk about here, and we're so fortunate to have someone who won an Emmy for his O.J. Simpson coverage, which is now 20 years ago. 2015 marks the 20th anniversary.
Can't believe it.
Manny Medrano won an Emmy for that. We're going to talk to him about a number of his clients, about cases that he's covered, including Dr. Conrad, Michael Jackson's doctor. And, you know, it's interesting because I was also looking up Dr. Conrad Murray, and I said Dr. Conrad because I'm tight with him. And the first article I read said, Dr. Conrad Murray, I held Michael's penis every night.
What, excuse me?
That's what it says. We'll
you, no, it does not
here,
say that.
Look!
What are you talking about?
Dr. Conrad Murray, I held Michael's penis every night. Anyway, we're going to talk a lot about high-profile cases, murder cases, and white-collar crime cases. And, you know, what's interesting is Judge Christina is now coming to our station. Aren't you excited?
Yes. Woo! Yes. Actually, I think that she's going to do very well here.
I hope so, because I expect, and I'm saying it right now, Judge Christina, you need to have Gurvey's Law on your show. You have... Juan's telling me to cut. No, I'm going to finish right now. You have Terry Kasem and Alan Gurvey, lawyer at the law firm of Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn, and if you want to hear from a real lawyer, we're going to talk. Judge Christina, call me, 818-981-9960, 818-981-9960. I am going to come on your show during the weekday. I'm going to miss my court appearance so we can talk. Also on the show today, which everyone is tuning in, is Harlan Gurvey. Harlan Gurvey, all the way from Toronto, Canada. I'm wearing my Winnipeg Jets jersey.
Dino's going crazy.
Dino's going
there.
Crazy.
He's losing it. He's clapping his hands.
This is the flagship station of the LA Kings, and I will tell you that the pregame show for the game tonight with the Kings and the Winnipeg Jets will be on in about 3 hours, and I will be there with Harlan Gurvey, and he's going to give an analysis of hockey in Canada versus hockey right here in Los Angeles, the home of the Stanley Cup champions, Los Angeles Kings. Don't go away. You're listening to Gurvey's Law. We will be right back with the Manny Medrano.
Starting January 20th, court is in session. Weekdays at 9 with Judge Christina Perez.
I'll be the judge of that.
Silence. Do you have any evidence at all?
Well, Your Honor, we've got plenty of hearsay and conjecture. Those are kinds of evidence.
Not in my courtroom. Tune in to Judge Christina Live, weekdays 9 to noon, starting January 20th on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
It's Peter Tilden with some pretty exciting news. I'm going to be escorting you, KBC listeners, on a thrilling journey to Europe aboard Oceania's intimate luxury ship, the Insignia. You can join me for this fabulous 11-day journey. We're going to fly to London, then we'll explore historic Bordeaux, France, the winemaking capital of the world. Then it's on to Biarritz, known worldwide for its beaches. Then on to Spain. We'll see some ancient Roman ruins. We'll visit Portugal, spending time in historic Oporto and the amazing city of Lisbon. And then we'll end our journey in magnificent Barcelona. Our friends at Atlas Travel have arranged private cocktail parties just for you and me. You'll enjoy Oceania's world-class dining, supervised by Master Chef Jacques Pepin, and the ultimate spa experience from Canyon Ranch. From just $44.99, and that includes airfare, tips, and $100 shipboard credit. So join me, Peter Tilden, in August, but please reserve your place now. Space is limited. It's going to go very quickly for that price. Call 888-445-9346. That's 888-445-9346. We're going to spend a lot of time together and have a blast. 888-445-9346.
Welcome back to Gurvey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And yes, we are back right here on Gurvey's Law. And I just noticed that Steve Smith scored a touchdown for Baltimore, for the Ravens. And Steve Smith, of course, is my client, Florence Young's son. So I'm giving a shout-out to Florence Young and Steve Smith. When I asked her how they were related, she said, I gave birth to the boy.
You should do a sports show on this station. I'm telling you,
hey,
you should. You really should.
She was my client, and it had nothing to do with sports. I will leave it at that. I am very, very excited right now because I will tell you, Carrie, we do a show on law and life, and the man sitting across from me right now, I believe, is an expert on both. And it's probably more important that he knows about life. His experiences are incredible. I grew up, not as a young boy, but as a lawyer, watching Manny Medrano on TV, and I always loved his style. It was like he was my friend. He was telling a story. He had all the legal experience. I mean, this is a Harvard law guy, Harvard College, started out from Texas with humble beginnings, and he rose to the top, winning an Emmy for the O.J. trial.
And also, never lost a jury trial, posting an astonishing, this is right from his website, 60-0 win record. I'm about to hire him.
Right, as a prosecutor,
yes.
Though.
Oh, no, he needs to be on my team.
Oh, that's true. I'll tell you something, though. If you do want to talk to Manny, call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. That's KBC. And I'll tell you, if you're not going to talk to us, go to YouTube and watch Manny Medrano give a keynote address for the Association of Supervision for Supervision Curriculum Development. It is an amazing address. Manny, welcome to Gerby's Law.
Well, thank you for letting me join you today. I'm excited. You guys are the bomb.
We appreciate that. So, Manny, we got to start off with O.J. 20 years ago, and I remember I learned about the O.J. trial by watching you. I think at the time you were on NBC. Did you do the KNBC for O.J., or were you doing – because you've been on KTLA. You've been a Supreme Court, and it's really tough, Carrie, to be a journalist for the Supreme Court, and Manny was that. So tell us about your reporting in the O.J. trial.
Well, you're looking at one of – the luckiest guys on God's earth, because I've had two or three different careers. I've had a modicum of success in each. And I'm a trial lawyer. That's all I ever wanted to be when I was growing up in the barrio in El Paso, Texas. My mom's from Chihuahua, literally a wetback when she illegally crossed the Rio Grande, settled in El Paso, met my dad, etc. And I knew I was going to be a trial lawyer. I was a trial lawyer beginning of 94. And then I'm hired by KNBC to be a TV, one of the nation's first full-time staff legal analysts. And 3 months after I'm hired, O.J. Simpson is accused in 1994 of killing two people. And I was on the air every day, 6-7 hours a day, as NBC's West Coast legal analyst in the gavel-to-gavel coverage of the O.J. Simpson case. It was an honor to be a part of it. It was extraordinary. I was in court. And it was just an amazing experience.
When you gave your opinion, and I know it's hard because when you're doing work like that, you're kind of, you're talking about the news, you're talking about what's happening, you're trying to get facts on both sides. Was it hard not to give, like, say, this is, in my opinion, what's happening, I think this is, or were you just, were you free to give that opinion?
Well, it's a great question, and I'll tell you why. I think I was doing a good job because I got mail from disappointed viewers and listeners from both sides, people who thought I was pro-O.J. Simpson, people who thought I was pro-prosecution. That's when I knew I was doing my job,
right,
and I'll tell you why. Because believe it or not, both sides during that lengthy trial made a lot of mistakes, and it was my job, I felt, as a legal analyst for Southern California, for our viewers, to tell them what I thought my views were, because I'd tried murder cases. I'd prosecuted murder cases, so I'd give our listeners and viewers straight the information and let them decide what they thought. But it was not my job to determine guilt or innocence. It was my job to help everyone understand the legal process. One last thought on this, by the way. Whether you love or hate the O.J. Simpson trial and the fact that it was televised, in my view, because of that high-profile case, more people than ever in this country have more understanding of their criminal justice system, and that's a good thing.
Now, wait, I just want to know what his opinion was. Did you think he was guilty?
Before you ask, I'm going to give Manny a little break now, because he's going to have a couple seconds, and he will tell you, but he's going to have a couple seconds to think about it, because I have a question that actually needs to be asked before that.
All right.
And that is, there were so many personalities involved in the trial, and you were reporting 5-6 hours a day. One of those personalities was Alan Dershowitz, who represented O.J. on the Dream Team. You went to Harvard Law School. You have these connections with Harvard as Alan Dershowitz, well-known from Harvard. Does that ever creep into a journalist's mind when you think about F. Lee Bailey, you think about Johnny Cochran, you think about Marsha Clark? Do you ever think that you don't want to do someone wrong who may have screwed up or you feel was not giving the best as an attorney?
I'd never had that concern, and I'll tell you why. I think I was hired by Channel 4 and KNBC to be objective and be candid and give people my honest opinion. I had a law class from Alan Dershowitz when I was at the Harvard Law School many moons ago, so I know the gentleman, but it almost didn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I put all that aside. I tell people what I thought was my opinion during that trial, and I guess it was well enough received that even a knucklehead like me was given an Emmy.
Okay. Well, I won't say that because you deserved it, but this is a trial attorney myself having my witness in front of him. Now I've established what I needed to do for him to answer your question, Carrie. Now he can ask you because he's shown us that there was no bias. I didn't want him answering that question if there would have been perhaps some bias creeping in, or he was going to say, well, I can't say because my friend Alan Dershowitz or F. Lee Bailey, who I became friendly with. He's not saying any of it. Now we've set it up for you, Manny. Tell us, what's the last word on O.J.?
The last word is this, as to Manny Medrano's personal opinion, please take no offense. I never asked the question, answer that question, and I'll tell you why. To this day, I still serve as a legal analyst for a variety of media outlets, and I feel that when these media outlets approach me, it's to give objective legal analysis and not predict whether it's a conviction or an acquittal or whether a particular result from the jury was right or wrong. So with all due respect, I just never answer that question.
So it's a cop-out.
Well, some would say that, but I can tell you this, though. Can I just tell you some quick issues? Because, boy, I learned a lot from the O.J. Simpson
case. As we all did.
Well, one is, if any concerned listener right now should have this concern, any lawmaker or judge who says, I'm not crazy about cameras in the courtroom, is flat wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, they also don't want their mistakes to be on air as well.
But that's their problem, because the bottom line is, last I checked, Carrie and Alan, it's our tax dollars that pay for judges' salaries, for the public defenders, the district attorneys, the court clerks, the bailiffs, etc. We have every right to know what goes on in our courtrooms.
Do you know something, Manny? And I appreciate you saying that. It's called transparency. And every day that I go to court, I wish there was a camera in the courtroom. Every day. I don't care what the case is, if I'm involved or not, but I want the public to see what goes on. You're talking about our tax dollars, what the legislature needs to see, how the laws are occurring in practice in a courtroom.
And exactly. And, you know, I'm a trial lawyer. That's what I do now. I'm a white-collar criminal defense lawyer. And when I go into a courtroom, I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want a judge who's biased in my favor, and I'll tell you why, because it raises a bevy of appellate issues, all right? I just want a judge who's fair, objective, and controls the courtroom. Judge Lancito.
Absolutely.
Judge Lancito, God bless him, nice guy, smart guy, lost control of the courtroom.
Had no control.
Contrast that, I believe the gentleman's name was Judge Michael Pastor in the Dr. Conrad Murray involuntary manslaughter case.
Judge Pastor.
He is the poster child for judges on how to run a courtroom in a high-profile case that is televised. He ran it magnificently, efficiently. He said, I want this trial over in blah, blah number of weeks. It was done in blah, blah number of weeks. That's the type of control. If you have a judge like that,
Manny,
then everyone benefits.
Let me tell you something. I can't agree with you more, because every time I appear before a judge, I don't care. Obviously, I represent the people. I'm a liberal guy on a conservative radio station. But I will take a conservative judge in a second if he or she controls the courtroom and also gets to the bottom line, as you're talking about Judge Pastor. Lance Ito, we all saw it, was so wishy-washy. He would entertain this motion and that motion, then he'd give them more time for this and that. And all that does is delay justice. Delayed justice is justice denied.
And costs for the people that are paying for everything and our taxpayers. Right now, I'm dealing with that too. 6 months later after my father's died, we have different judge after different judge after different judge. Delay, delay, delay. I won conservatorship over my father. The estate pays my lawyer's bills. That's how it goes. That's just how it works. And it's like a different judge gives more time to the other side. Another judge is not familiar with the case.
And
let me give you more time.
Carrie,
let me give you more time.
That's why we need cameras in the courtroom. Let's talk about Dr. Conrad Murray real quick. We have 1 minute before we take a break. Did he get what he deserved?
The evidence was very, very compelling and strong to result in the guilty verdict. It was.
Right.
I mean, objectively. That's my view on that. I got a 4-year sentence. I think he served half of that because of overcrowding.
2 years he served overcrowding.
In the jail system. But I think it was a good case for the prosecutor to go on. By the way, the prosecutors on that case, whose names escape me right now, were terrific, by the way. And quick side issue, also, people sometimes wonder, why is it that high-profile cases, the prosecutors lose the case? It's always one of two reasons. The evidence was not that strong, or B, the prosecutors were just not that good.
We're going to break for the news. Come back. We'll be right back on Gervie's Law.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and law number 3030.
From military history professor at West Point to battles in Iraq and Afghanistan, he's one of the youngest generals in the U.S. Army, H.R. McMaster. This week's guest on Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Jim O'Callaghan. General McMaster's criticism of military leaders in the Vietnam conflict, a book titled Dereliction of Duty, is now required reading in the Marines. Tune in Champions of Justice, Sunday afternoon at 2, here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
From the evenings at 6 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Addiction happens. Recovery and a new life starts here, featuring celebrity and professional interviews. For immediate assistance, go to cleanradio.com. That's clean with a K.
Tired of the same old boring talk show? So, what's your problem? A show guaranteed to make you laugh and help solve some of your real life problems. Friday at midnight on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You suffer from boredom, irritability, upset stomach, nausea,
have trouble hearing,
breathing,
swallowing,
or have suicidal thoughts while listening to other radio stations? KABC has your cure.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew
and Psycho Mike,
and we have got your prescription for a better life. I hope.
It's Midday Live starting January 20th.
It's just what the doctor ordered.
Midday Live with me, Dr. Drew, and Psycho Mike Capelwood, weekdays, noon to 3, starting January 20th on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Side effects might include an erection that lasts up to 3 hours.
Welcome back to Gerby's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back, and I guess there is a lot of penis talk today because they just let us in with side effects being an erection for 3 hours, and I was talking about Dr. Conrad Murray reading from the article from TMZ.com. He writes that Michael didn't know how to put a condom on, so I had to do it for him, and then he says, I held his penis every night to fit a catheter because he was incontinent at night. Now, we're talking, of course, with the man, Manny Medrano, who all of you know who have lived in Southern California. You've seen his face over and over. And now on KNBC, on KTLA, on ABC, everywhere. And now, of course, he is one of the top criminal attorneys in the city at Medrano and Carlton. If you need, and I know you all you criminals are listening, but if you need the best, you need to call Manny. So Manny was covering the Dr. Conrad Murray case, and he's already indicated that he thought, you know, it was the trial went smoothly. 4 years was the maximum sentence. Conrad got all four, but was released 2 years after he was put into prison because of overcrowding and, of course, good behavior. I guess he was holding penises for other people as well. But, you know, the question that we have to talk about here is, why did he only serve 2 years? People would say that he actually killed Michael Jackson, or at least he had an affirmative duty to prevent Michael Jackson from killing himself.
Short answer and simple answer to that, Alan, is as follows. State prisons, local county jails, fill to the max. And as a result, there's rules have been passed, legislation, so as a result, if someone is sentenced to prison, depending on the type of offense, let's say it's not a violent offense, let's say you're not a drug cartel leader, et cetera, the local county jail has the discretion to shorten that sentence. Happens a lot to a lot of my clients. I've got DUI clients who will be going to jail, and they check in and they're immediately released because there's no room for them. So it's a simple fact of tremendous overcrowding in the jail system.
And let's clear up your like Conrad Murray holding Michael's penis every night. It
Go
was
ahead.
Because he was sticking a catheter in Michael so he wouldn't urinate all over himself.
Okay.
Also, he didn't put a condom on because he was that's where the urine would drip because it was dripping all the time.
Okay. Well, there's a big problem there.
Why?
Michael Jackson was getting ready to put on one of the greatest shows that the world would ever see in London, and there should have been a lot more medical attention given to him so some rogue, random doctor who's getting paid a lot should not have been sticking a catheter in Michael's penis every night and preventing him from dripping. We need to fix these things. This is not what we do to people, especially people who are billionaires.
Well, that's why he went to jail, and
nor
I think that's
use,
why he was prosecuted.
Nor use propofol.
Right.
At the end
exactly.
of the day.
Exactly.
You need to use that in a hospital
there
setting.
There you go.
Not in someone's bedroom. The jury had plenty of evidence for that
That's
condition.
Right. And there you have it, because Manny Medrano knew everything that was going on because he was covering the trial. So that's the answer. I mean, let's not try to put blame on something that should not have happened.
Right, but also let's not take away the responsibility Michael Jackson had as well. You know, so yes, no, I believe he should have been prosecuted, the doctor, absolutely, and what he did was wrong. But look at the, you know, I'm so sick of this country. People have no responsibility anymore. Where's the responsibility? This man asked for it. This man paid for it. If you have enough money, you're going to get somebody to do your bidding. You're going to.
Your
so
bidding?
That's, I mean, he couldn't do it himself. He couldn't go and get the propofol or whatever. I can't even say it. He couldn't go in and put himself under. I mean, come on.
I got it.
Come on, Alan.
Okay.
So there's got to be some responsibility here.
You talk about overcrowding, that apparently what Dr. Conrad Murray did was not serious enough to keep him in jail for 2 years. More than 2 years.
Not the entire four years, correct.
Let's change to one of your clients, Mark Burnt. Tell the story of Mark Burnt, who's the ex-Miramonte teacher, who I believe, after a plea deal, is serving life in prison, is that
now,
correct?
He was charged with 23 counts of lewd conduct with children. The allegation when he was a grade school teacher in Miramonte Elementary School was that he would take photos of blindfolded children, give them cookies, allegedly with his body fluids
ejaculate,
on the cookies.
Ejaculate. Let's exactly. not.
So how about just semen there?
Yeah.
There we
yeah.
go.
Semen. And at the end of the day, this Mr. Burnt,
right.
my client.
Your client.
And Mr. Burnt, I know part of the reason, obviously it's his decision. It's his life. It's my job to counsel him as I do all my clients. I'm very diligent with what I
right.
do. Care about every single client. And at the end of the day, he did not want to put the child victims on the stand to have them cross-examined by me. Okay. And at the end of the day, he accepted a 25-year sentence. And if you think about it, that is a very, very long time. He went into prison at age 61.
61.
I don't know if he'll survive 25 years.
So do you believe he did it? And
well,
you can't.
I, to be honest with you, the better question is, how was the case resolved and what did he do? He accepted full responsibility. He pled guilty. So he obviously did it if he's accepting
guilt.
But
you can plead guilty because you don't want to get those kids up on the stand if you're really a good person, or you plead guilty because you don't want to deal with it and have everything out in the open.
There's a myriad of factors that go into his decision. Not in his head, obviously. All I can do is give advice,
okay.
just like Alan
right.
does with his clients.
Manny, I got to ask you this question, because this is true of me, and I'm not picking on you because you're a trial lawyer. I'm a trial lawyer, too. And sometimes when my client settles a case, I go back home, and that night when I have a moment to myself, I kind of let out a, I'm so glad that case settled, because I don't really feel like maybe I was going to prevail or that it was going to do, it was just really going to go well at trial. Did you feel that way with Mark Burnt?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think a good trial lawyer, and I try to subscribe to this philosophy every day in my life, cares passionately about his clients. My client, when I was a prosecutor, were victims. Now my clients on this side of the fence as a criminal defense lawyer are defendants, obviously. But at the end of the day, I care passionately about both sides, all right? And you do your best, and you would be amazed how many lawyers out there and I say this with a lot of respect to other criminal defense lawyers,
right.
But you would not believe the flotsam that is out there with some,
yes,
criminal defense lawyers. They take your client's money, they never review the police reports, and they tell you to plead out. What kind of lawyer does that?
Yeah.
And
all
we,
right,
see that in workers' compensation. We see that all the time. There are fellow applicant attorneys who don't care about the person. They're not trying to get this guy treatment to get him better, but they just want to make a quick buck, settle the case, and move on.
And that's wrong. It's morally and ethically wrong. And frankly, if you do your job right, especially on this side of the fence as a criminal defense lawyer, you fight the hardest and most ethically you can. And by the way, let me say with that Mark Byrne case, very,
yeah,
difficult case, I received hate mail for that.
Sure.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because Mark Byrne deserved a lawyer. You're allowed it under the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. If you, Alan, or you, Carrie, were charged with something, you'd want to get the best lawyer you possibly can.
Right. Sure.
And then it's the defense lawyer's job to make sure the DA or the federal prosecutor does his job. And when both sides do their job, when under the system that we have, and it's,
right,
the greatest legal system in the history of mankind, in my opinion, at the end, justice prevails more times than not.
Now, speaking of moral and ethical issues, and you know, today I feel like I haven't had enough coffee. I ran out of here on a
you
break.
Take
I
a
need
popper.
More coffee. I just want to know if there's ever a time somebody's walked into your office, you didn't believe them, you knew they were guilty, and you just didn't want to take the case.
That's never happened, and frankly, I never asked my clients if they did it or not on the criminal defense side. Let me tell you what.
Okay.
I never asked my clients that, and the reason is I'm not judgmental. It's not my job to decide whether they're guilty or innocent. It's my job to defend them as aggressively as I can within the confines of the law. So I'm thinking about this in my years of practice. I think there's only one client I turned down, but it had nothing to do with guilt or innocence. This guy just rubbed me the wrong way because of his personality. He was a,
yeah,
jerk,
yeah,
and I don't work with jerks. I can't, you know, life's too short.
You know,
yeah,
and what,
yeah,
that's about is a lack of respect, because I've had people come into my office, and I really want to represent them. I have the same attitude that you do, but when people don't have respect for what I do and what I can do for them, you've got to take pause. So this is a good lesson that Manny's telling everyone out there. When you speak to a lawyer, if you have faith in the lawyer and you want to be represented by him or her, please respect them. So don't treat them like they're second-class citizens, and you're going to get much better service from that lawyer.
And frankly, in turning down that one client, look, I didn't need the money, but at the end of the day, I would not have served him properly because I know in my mind I would not have given 100% on his behalf, so it's better he find a lawyer in which there's greater compatibility. He and I just didn't hit it off, but that was a rarity. To be honest with you, I get along with virtually every single one of my clients.
Did you always get along with lawyers who you were speaking to in the media? You weren't representing the person who was on trial, but you had to speak to someone like Gloria Allred, for instance, who was on our show a few weeks ago, or someone like that. What is your position on lawyers who come up to you and say, Manny, I'm not going to give you a comment?
And, well, you know, I deal with lawyers all the time, both as a lawyer now, as a practicing trial lawyer, and also when I was covering high-profile cases. And your question is excellent, Alan, because you would be stunned to learn, Carrie, for example, how often lawyers are doing a disservice to their clients in how they deal with the media. So let's say, Alan, if you're my client and there's a high-profile case, sometimes the worst thing you can do is just say, no comment.
Right.
We'll try the case in a courtroom, not in the court of public opinion.
Right.
You can't do that because let's say my client is a corporate client and they've been charged that they were tampering with the product and people died. You have to deal with that somehow. And in my opinion, it's borderline legal malpractice for me not to think these things through and to say something to the media when I need to. But sometimes, you know what? It serves the client's interest to remain mum, not say a word. You may recall when I took on the Mark Byrne case, other than the initial appearance, everyone knew who I was, you never heard from me again. And you know why? Because I was trying to achieve a plea deal on his behalf, and that would have been undercut had I been on the courthouse steps every day. At the end of the day, what is the thing I can do that best serves my
your
client.
Sure.
That is my philosophy.
And you would have been able to give comments in a different case where it would have advanced your client's cause or advanced their concern.
And I have done so in other cases. It's a case-by-case situation, definitely.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And you know, there's been so many things that you have told us today. Again, I urge everyone to watch the YouTube video because it really gets to your heart. And I want to just ask you, as we have to close up very shortly, but on that YouTube video where you're talking to these educators, and I got to tell you folks, Manny Medrano was talking about law and life, just what we talk about on our show. And he talks about coming from the humble beginnings and rising to one of the preeminent attorneys, defense criminal attorneys at Medrano and Carlton, and the way up and all the failures that you experience, as we all do, before become successful. And how frustration, at some point in the video you say, no mas, how do you continue? And then you tell the story of Mr. Reyes, who unfortunately lost his wife and his three-year-old daughter, and the... Tell us about what happened with Mr. Reyes. You had interviewed him as a journalist.
Yeah, just very briefly, the school educators had invited me to speak because they wanted me to tell these public teachers, how does a kid from the barrio, a Chicano, go to Harvard College, Harvard Law School, and then the pinnacle of journalism as the Supreme Court correspondent? I was hired by Peter Jennings by ABC News.
Right.
And I just told him my life story. But one of the stories I shared when I was a reporter was covering this awful case where one gangbanger shoots at another in South Central. He misses. The bullet travels 400 feet down a residential street, goes through a wall. Inside the living room, man, wife, and their three-year-old child. Bullet comes into the living room, goes through the brain of the mom, killing her instantly. Ricochets off a bookcase, ends up in the heart of the three-year-old. She dies. In a millisecond, Mr. Reyes loses his wife and child. I cover the trial for Channel 4 KNBC News. The gangbanger convicted gets life without parole.
Right.
Then I go to talk to Mr. Reyes one-on-one without the camera because I had a question for the guy. And I said, Mr. Reyes, sorry to bother you, but I just got to ask you, how did you get through this? The gentleman looks at me, and in Spanish he says, you know, I may have lost the life I had, but I have not lost the will to live. That man changed my life forever, and I share that story with many people because all of us have failures. We take a punch to the gut, and a lot of people will roll up in the corner in a fetal position. But people who are good people, solid winners and champions, pick themselves up like Mr. Reyes did.
Yeah.
And you keep moving forward. And that philosophy has guided every moment of my life.
Manny, I really appreciate you telling that story because it really touched me when I watched the video. You talked about the human spirit. You said it's indefatigable and irrepressible. And that's what I want to leave with right now, because that's turning negatives into positives. You've experienced a lot of negatives in your life, and you've watched others who have experienced negatives. Always thinking, you said that changed your life. That's changed my life. It gives me reason to move forward, and I hope everyone who's listening has reason to move forward. Manny Medrano, we'd love you to come back. You're just a very, very interesting guy, not only as a lawyer for Medrano and Carlton, which is in Pasadena. You can look him up, call Manny if you need him, but also just with your vision and your feelings about life. We really thank you and hope you can come and join Gervie's Law again.
Alan, Carrie, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Manny.
And we will be right back.
Starting January 20th, court is in session. Weekdays at 9 with Judge Christina Perez.
Sustained. Do you have any evidence at all? We are serious about the truth.
But there's the truth and the truth.
Not in my courtroom. Tune in to Judge Christina Live weekdays 9 to noon starting January 20th on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burby, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
You're listening to Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You are listening to Gerby's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are now going to change the gear. We are starting the Los Angeles Kings pregame show. Los Angeles Kings are playing tonight, Carrie, against the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, yeah. Are you going?
I will be there. I'm wearing my Mark Scheifele jersey, and I may get shot leaving the KBC studios, which, of course, is the flagship radio station of the LA Kings Stanley Cup champions. And we are so honored right now because when I have someone who not only do I respect, but I love on the show, and I do because he's my nephew, Harlan Gervey, is appearing live from Toronto, Canada. He has come to watch the Winnipeg Jets. He grew up as a big Winnipeg Jets fan, and they are playing tonight at 7 o'clock at Staples Center. Then tomorrow at 5 o'clock, there will be the Timu Solani tribute night in Anaheim. So Harlan and I will be taking in the game. Tonight we're taking little Hudson, my two-year-old son, who's got a Winnipeg Jets jersey, and we will be sitting at center ice right behind Al Michaels if he shows up. But there's football, so he may be broadcasting. But I'll tell you, we are excited. Harlan, welcome to your last name, Gervey's Law.
Thank you. Very excited to be here. Very excited to be in L.A., too. So.
And you met Carrie.
Yes. Look, we hit it off.
Celebrity. You hit it off.
I don't know about that, but yeah,
no. I'm starstruck for sure.
She's taken, Harlan, I'm sorry. Although her boyfriend is about Harlan's age. So
you know what, Alan?
What?
After the show, you don't have to worry about being taken out in the parking lot.
I'm going to be taken out right here. No, that's a compliment because Jesse's a great guy. I love Jesse.
Jesse's awesome.
And he's like the best-looking man in America.
Oh, thank you.
But, Harlan, tell us, and you've come from Toronto. You just watched the Junior Championships. I know you went to a couple games where Canada prevailed in the Junior Championships. What are your impressions of being in the city where there is the Stanley Cup right here at KBC, the Stanley Cup coming from Toronto, which is a hotbed of hockey?
Well, it's completely different. You would not even imagine this is where the Stanley Cup calls home because you do not hear a whisper about the Kings or anything about hockey here other than on the station.
That's true, on the station.
I mean, this morning I opened up the LA Times over breakfast and I had to dig all the way to page 3 to find a little
page
blurb.
Page 3. Yeah. I love it. Page 3. Yeah.
In Toronto, on page 3, you'd be on the third page of the same articles on the Leafs of what they had for breakfast that day.
Right.
Let alone if they were even playing.
And what did they talk about for tonight's game? What was in the LA Times about the Winnipeg Jets who are visiting here?
Well, to begin with, the article was about two paragraphs anyway. So there was one little blurb at the end just about the Jets and their game tonight. Just talking about one little player who was on a bit of a point streak. No mention about the amount of points they have. No mention of the implications that the game tonight has with the Kings. As they didn't even mention that the Kings and the Jets are tied for points and fighting for one of the last playoff spots.
Right.
It was just an irrelevant blurb.
47 points. The Kings and the Jets have the same, virtually the same record. They're fighting for the last playoff spot, and it was not even mentioned in the LA Times today.
I mean, it's a very big game tonight, and the newspaper did not do a great job of hyping it up. So.
Well, you're not listening to the right radio stations, because there are radio stations that definitely, I'm not going to name them on this station.
I want to hear
but
about
there are
TSM?
Plenty of them. Come on. There are plenty of them that would really go in depth on you know, the games, the hockeys, the stats. Everything.
I'm going to call you on that, Carrie, because I agree, on the internet you will find that, but in L.A., granted Harlan just got in last night, so he hasn't had a chance to listen to all the radio stations, but I listen every day, and I'll tell you, this guy, Harlan, who, by the way, was a business major at one of the top business schools in Canada, Ivy at Western, now is in real estate. He's on the business side of real estate. Above all, though, he knows his hockey. And I'll tell you, Harlan, tell me, what happened this morning when you went into the 7-Eleven?
Well, this morning we went into the 7-Eleven, and you're wearing your Mark Scheifele jersey, as you mentioned earlier. And we were leaving. We were cashing out, and the cashier goes, "Oh, Toronto Maple Leafs, I like the jersey. Well, he's wearing his Winnipeg Jets jersey, so
you know, but look, there's a maple leaf on his shoulder here. I mean, it's a big red maple leaf. It does say Jets, but
if you go to Canada and a guy's wearing a New York Yankees hat, you don't go, oh, the Red Sox. I'm a big fan.
Okay, first of all, see a leaf. That's all you see is a big red leaf, and you think, Canada. I dated a guy that was from Canada, Saskatchewan, grew up in a town of 30 people named Payton. His whole life was hockey. He was in the juniors. He played for the juniors. I mean, his whole life's hockey. Now, he comes out here to be an actor. If his Canadian team, and I'm totally, I can't believe I'm blanking because I haven't lived with
this for
years.
Yeah, you're not blanking. You don't know. Tell him.
If his team lost, he would literally have, like, PMS. And I would wish so much that his team would win so I wouldn't have to deal with his crying, first of all, and his upset, because it's too much. And I can see why people don't go a little crazy for hockey.
But I'll tell you, as Harlan knows, he grew up with hockey. In fact, he played high school hockey at St. John's Ravens Court. He knows what he's talking about. He knows all the players in the league. And it is very different here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, the local fans may be knowledgeable about the Kings, but beyond that, as we saw in the newspaper this morning, there's no mention of the other teams. And it's a completely different world up in Canada. Like, everyone's position in the standings. You love your own team. You live and die like your boyfriend you were talking about.
Yes.
Right.
With the win and loss. But you know about the other teams and are aware of everything that's going on in the league.
One of my favorite memories growing up in Winnipeg was at 1 o'clock in the morning driving through the snowbanks in the city, looking at the houses at 1 o'clock in the morning, seeing dark houses with a glow, the television glow on. I knew that the NHL playoff game had gone into overtime and people were going to stay up all night until the sudden death goal was scored. And you can go from house to house and see the glow of the TVs. But I'll tell you right now, we've asked everyone, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222, call in. Tell Harlan that he's wrong. Tell him that there are Kings fans that are listening to the station, KBC, getting ready for the big game tonight. Tell them what you know. How many people can name four players on the Winnipeg Jets?
My friend Bella can name pretty much everybody.
Okay, Bella. Call in, Bella, because Harlan, what will you give anyone who calls in right now and can name four players on the Winnipeg Jets?
Well,
what will you
give them? There's an internet.
Okay,
I can
no
do it
using
right
the
now.
Internet. Good point. No, right. You wouldn't be able to pronounce the names. What will you give them?
All our Canadian favorites, like ketchup chips, some poutine, like anything that she wants that's authentically Canadian.
Winnipeg Jets.
If she can name four players on the Winnipeg Jets.
Anyone listening right now, you heard it from Harlan Gervey, that if you're listening and you can name four players, you get ketchup chips.
Was Bertuzzi ever on the Winnipeg Jets?
No.
Wait, Bertuzzi was the Canadians? What was it? What was that? Oh,
the Canucks.
Okay.
The Canucks. Thank you.
Lisa,
there we go. I did it.
Lisa,
I did one.
We have 1 minute. You're on with Harlan Gervey, Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So tell us about hockey. You got a minute.
What do you want to know?
Name four players on the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, and you were going to get ketchup chips.
Ketchup chips. Yeah, maybe tickets would be better.
Or tickets. I will give someone tickets if they can call up. I can't believe it.
What about naming just the Kings players? What about that? What about naming some of the Kings players?
Well, that, that goes, they're the Stanley Cup champions, so they should be able to name. Harlan can tell you the stories behind all of the Kings players. Like, let's talk about Richards. Just tell me about Richards.
Well, I went to an awesome Canada Day party at his cottage once in northern Ontario, which was a lot of fun. So
there you go.
I've met him once. But
So that's it. If you're from Canada and you name any player and he's been to his house. Timu Solani. Do you know anyone who knows Timu Solani?
Oh, Timu Solani. Everyone in Winnipeg would say they know Timu Solani on a personal level. They're
that's
best
true.
Friends with Solani.
Well, they live next to the Standals. You know your friend Standal. Solani lived next to Ryan Standal. Is that it, Harlan?
Yeah, his grandparents it was.
Yeah, his grandparents. Yeah. Wow. Harlan, I love that you came here and you called a spade. You said that the L.A. Kings fans know nothing about hockey, and people in Toronto, they live it, they dream it, and we appreciate you being here. Thanks for being on Gervie's Law. Harlan Gervie.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.